I want to challenge you this morning. How about welcoming in your heart this morning? How about letting the Holy Spirit touch areas of your life that you've never allowed Him to touch before? How about letting the Holy Spirit come in and encourage you this morning? He is our helper, amen? He is for us. He is our companion. But you know, sometimes we can sit there and think, hey, this is good, I can feel this. But we need to let Him come deep into our heart, amen? Because we need to be challenged. Praise God. We need to be challenged in so many areas of our life. It's so great to be here this morning. It's interesting that Gigi Teely is going to be preaching at your ladies' meeting. Actually, Gigi and Rod actually took over the church that I used to minister. Actually, I was their pastor. Is that amazing? So please come. She's different to me. She's more ladylike, but that's okay. Praise God. I believe it's God's heart, and it's always been God's heart. And I believe that it is our heart. We want to see a greater release of miracles in our lives. Is that correct? We want to see a greater release of miracles in our nations. We want to see the greater release of miracles in the nations of the world. We want to see the miracles that God has promised in His Word of God. And I'm not saying that we don't see miracles. I see many, especially in India. But I believe that we need to see a greater release of miracles. Amen. But you know, we can say in our nations, we can say in our church, we say in our community, you know where we need the greater release of miracles is in our own home. Do you know it's easier to be nicer outside your home than in your home? Am I right? Come on! We can be more challenged by our husbands than we can by outside people. But you know, we need to see miracles where the rubber hits the road. And you know, if God had a statement or a mission statement, I would believe it would be this, that none shall perish. That is His heart, that none shall perish. Amen? And I want to talk this morning about representing Jesus with signs and wonders. Let's look at Mark 16, verse 20. And they, who's they? The disciples. Who's a disciple here this morning? And they, what did they do? They went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. I love that. The Lord working with them. And we have to understand every time we move out in the Holy Spirit, every time we move out in God, that God is working with us. Amen? We are never on our own. So I go back, and they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. That is the word of God. I long for this. And you know, to be able to see these miracles, we need to pursue the reality of God's word like we've never done before. Amen. As I said, in our personal lives, in our family, in our community, our nations and our nations, allowing the God of the word of God to be a reality in our lives. See, we can't have the word cannot be a reality in our lives if we don't know the word of God. Like never before, people, we need to know the word of God. Amen. I believe it's the weight of the word that should, you know, direct our lives. I believe it's the weight of the word that should direct our emotions. I believe it's the weight of the word that should direct our decisions. Not what everybody else is saying, but the weight of the word of God. It's the weight of the word, the reality of the word of God. You know, allowing the word of God, the reality of the word of God, you know, to when we send the word of God out, we should expect that it will never come back void. Amen? When we speak the word of God, when we pray the word of God, when we live the word of God, we should expect that it will never, ever come back void because that is the word of God. Let's look at Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word, that's God's word, be that goes forth from my mouth, which is His mouth. It shall not return to me void. We are promised right here, when it's God's word, it will never come back void. Isn't that what the word of God says? But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You know, I believe so much. If our prayer is based on the word of God, if our prayer is fueled by the word of God, it will accomplish the word of God. Not, oh, God, give me, please, this, 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 that. The word of God. When received, God's word of promise will never be barren. That is what the word says. He said his word, his promise will never be barren. The power in his word will always fulfill the promise of his word. Isn't that amazing? Because he said he's with you. He will fulfill the promise of his word. And I would just come to encourage you this morning. What is the word of promise you are standing on? What promise have you got in your heart? What are you believing on this morning? What word has God placed in your heart? I just encourage you this morning to keep standing on that word. Amen? To keep standing on that word and believing that when it's a word of God, it will not come back void. We need to expect that God watches over his word. So every time we speak his word, every time we live his word, I believe that he stands over his word to perform it. We need to represent this kind of expectation when we pray. We need to represent this kind of faith when we pray. People who long for this must pursue God with reckless abandon. See, it's all about him. It's not about us. Amen? It's all about him and it's all about others. That's what our life should be about. In other words, becoming a sent one and not a went one. Now you think, now what she's on about? Do you want me to explain it to you? Have you worked it out? Come on, young ones, you've worked it out. In other words, becoming a sent one and not a went one. A went one is someone who goes out on his or her own behalf. That's wrong. I went to China, went down the shop, humming I went. But you just went because that's what you felt to go. I'm not saying that is wrong. But a sent one is someone who goes out on behalf of the sender. See, we've got to stop going out on behalf of what we think and what we think, or maybe it's a great idea, but we need to be going out on behalf of the sender. And when we reach people and talk to people about Jesus on behalf of the sender, his word cannot become back void. Is that incredible? When we are sent, it's not about us. Do you know that? It's about the one who sent us. If we are a went person, then people will receive us. But when we are the sent people, people will receive the God who we represent. Can you see the difference? When we are went people, nothing wrong with that. But we are representing ourselves, are we not? But when we go out on behalf of God and he said that he is with us, then we are always representing God. It has nothing to do with us personally, people. It's everything to do with who we are representing. So that scripture I read in the beginning, I love it. The Lord works with us. Is that amazing? So you're never on your own. You're not out there just doing your thing. He works with us. You know, the disciples, they were sent, were they not? They said, go, didn't he? Preach everywhere. And what will happen? Signs and wonders will follow. And sometimes we think it's only people up here preaching the word of God like this, where signs and wonders will follow. I tell you, we preach the word when we take someone a meal. We preach the word when we speak comfort into people. You know, we are preaching, aren't we not? Every time we reach out to someone, every time we do some little thing for someone else, we are actually preaching the word, no matter what that is. And the Bible promises that signs and wonders will follow us. See, when we know we are a sent person and we are acting as an appointed representative of God, we can be confident, people, that God will back us up. Does that thrill your heart this morning? You're not out there on your own. You don't have to sort of stand, is God going to come? Is something going to happen? He is with you. And if you are preaching and living the word of God, he will back you up all the way. Praise God. See, once we get that into our hearts, we will know we have a divinely ordained assignment. I'm going to ask you a question, because I believe everybody's got an ordained assignment. Who in their heart knows, and don't be shy, who in their heart knows that God's got something special for their life, that God's placed gifts in their life? Come on, who knows? Oh. Okay, who knows? Hooray! Every one of us know but know that God's called us for a specific purpose. And you know what that purpose is? People always say to me, but I don't know my purpose. But I think, how can you not know your purpose? Your purpose has got to line up with God's purpose, and that is that none shall perish. So therefore, you've got your purpose in life. And you know, and when we know it's God and we are a sent person, you know, people, all heaven is behind us. Is that amazing? All heaven is behind you. And we will see the miraculous power of God in a greater measure. Because we're not out there alone. Isn't that wonderful? We are sent people. Have we any sent people here? Couple. Any sent people here? In other words, what is a sent person? We are simply representing Jesus and not ourselves. Amen? Empowered by the Lord. See, went people, they actually represent themselves, do they not? But it has to be God's way. It has to be God working with us. Let's look at Mark. To me, that's the gospel in a nutshell. You'll all know this off by heart. Mark chapter 16, verses 16, 17 and 18. 15, 16, 17 and 18. And he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody. Preach the gospel to everybody. Not someone you think's a wrong color or doesn't deserve it. He says to preach the gospel to everyone. He who believes and baptizes will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who's he talking about here, people? Come on, be with me this morning. Who's he talking about? You, isn't he? Who believes this morning? So he simply says, follows those who believe. Any believers here? Well, I tell you, these signs will follow you. In my name, they will cast out demons. Ooh. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, the Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. Simple. The sent ones. True representatives of God. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word, which can be in many ways, as I explained. This is talking about you and me. We are his representatives. Any representatives here this morning? We are representing the true nature of God. The primary purpose of signs and wonders, in other words, miracles, is to reveal the true nature of God. Would you agree with that? No question. You know, I find the lack of miracles absolute pure robbery. I am sick and tired of seeing families being robbed. I'm sick and tired of seeing our nation being robbed. I'm sick and tired of people being robbed with their health. I am absolutely sick and tired of seeing robbery wherever I go. We all want to see people who have an incredible personal encounter with God, and that encounter must include great Holy Ghost power. Amen? That's what changes. Not because I just went and told you about the gospel. It's because I'm sent. And the miraculous power of God, the anointing of God, touches your life and changes you. Is that right, people? Praise God. See, when miracles occurred in the New Testament, it turned sinners' lives around. Jesus didn't wait for people to come to the temple. He went out into the villages and the streets. He went everywhere. Jesus doesn't wait till we're perfect. Honestly, if I had to be perfect, I wouldn't be doing nothing. Oh, but one is, amen. Jesus, hear this, you've been doing a study on the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, performed miracles wherever he went when he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't special programs. I've got nothing against programs. It's amazing the programs around. But when people were dictated by demons, they were simply delivered and set free. See, when God's world collides with the kingdom of darkness, he always wins. See, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Isn't that what Acts 1:18 says? We are to be witnesses. We are to be His ambassadors. We are to represent Him on earth, to be sent ones, not went ones. He said He will work with us. Amen? And we should be seeing miracles wherever we go. See, the miracle realm of God is always for a purpose. See, miracles bring life. Miracles bring hope. If I stood up here this morning and I said that I have been healed from whatever a disease, and you're sitting in that chair and you've got that disease, what's going to happen to you? Wow, if God can do it for her, He can do it for me. Am I right? Because when we represent Jesus and see miracles, miracles encourage other people. Praise God. Miracles bring life. Isn't that right? Miracles bring hope. Miracles bring love. Miracles bring healing and freedom. That is God's nature. That is who we are representing. It's not about us. Demonstrations of power are always redemptive in nature. I think it was about a month or so ago, I was in a place, Condobolin. Anyone knows where Condobolin is? It's right out west of New South Wales. And I have a friend out there. She's about 44, a single girl, has started a church over there. And, you know, she's doing the most incredible job. She has turned, not only she's started a church, she lived out of a car for 6 months, and she's a teacher, but, you know, she has turned not only the community around, but she's building this amazing church of young Aboriginal people. Isn't that exciting? So I've been there 3 times now, and I went there the third time. And the first time when I went to, they actually had in the lounge room. And it was so funny, there was about 21 of these young people there, and they didn't know really anything about church. And I was supposed to be the preacher, and all they did was play with their phones. And I said to her, what are they doing? She said, actually, they're Facebooking each other in the room, talking about you. That's what they did. So I thought, what am I going to do here? They hadn't heard a message or anything. So I just started getting up and just praying for them and all that sort of stuff that I do. And, you know, the second time I went there, they actually ran out to the car park to greet me. How's that? And the Facebook went on a bit, but not so much. But maybe it had nicer things on, eh? So this time I went, they have now got their own building. Is that incredible? And that night they had 15 new young people that had never, ever been to church. I was just told that's all I knew. So when I was up there preaching, I was really hanging on to God every second saying, which way do I go? What do I do? And I happened to look up, and there was a girl sitting about in the middle there, youngish girl, 16, it's hard to tell. And she had writing on a T-shirt, but I couldn't read it because I had my glasses off at that moment. And I thought, oh, yeah. So I think she had an American. I said to her, oh, Miss Washington, I said to her. And I started just prophesying into her life, you know, and just speaking stuff to her. And her eyes were bigger saucers. I didn't know she was one that wasn't saved, but she was her biggest saucer. And all her friends' eyes were like this. But next to her was a woman, young woman. She could have been 18, 25, a biggish, beautiful Aboriginal girl. And I looked at her T-shirt, but I couldn't read that either. And I said, what's the writing on your T-shirt? And she said something. I said, what does that mean? This is all in the service. That's okay, isn't it? And she said, it's my brother's university shirt. And something came, and I said to her, why are you wearing your brother's university shirt? And she looked at me. I said, you should be wearing your own university shirt. You know, God has placed brains on you. And I started telling her that God wanted her to go to university, that all this stuff. And I was speaking life back into her. I had no idea whether she was married or had children or how old she was. But all I knew with all my heart that God wanted her to be in university because He had a plan for her life. Well, everybody was like this. And I thought, I've either missed it or got it. I'm not sure. Well, I tell you what happened. That girl had gone to uni, and she walked out a week before. And God came that day and told her to go back to uni. And when Sharon came over to see me, the woman that's running the church, she was actually on the same plane as her, and her and her mum were going to Sydney, and she is now booked into Sydney University where she'll get some more help. Is that incredible? What happened? Does that make you think, oh, Lynette Tobin, she heard God? I did. But I tell you what happened. 15 of people that night came to the Lord. And every one of them still in church. We need to be listening to God. Amen? He cared about that girl. And I found out that she wanted to be a teacher all her life. But when she went to uni, she had a real struggle in Bathurst. But now she's in Sydney, she'll get a lot more support. And she knows but knows without a question that God has called her. Is that incredible? Isn't that what it's all about? See, God doesn't expose our sin. None of us would be in the church if they did. Let's be honest. He doesn't expose our shame. He doesn't do that. He doesn't speak into our lives to make us feel bad. You know, but I believe what he does, when he speaks into our life, he actually draws a line in our sand and enables us to be able to cross the line. Isn't that right? Because I tell you, I know a lot of people have had miracles in their life who have not gone on with God. And I've known a lot of people who have had miracles have gone on with God in a greater way. Isn't that right? But you know, what happens that when he speaks to us, we have an opportunity to make a decision for him. Isn't that correct? I have a son-in-law, Bruce. And when my daughter married him about 17 years ago, he wasn't a Christian at all. And she sort of wasn't living that way herself anyway. But, you know, as years went on, he came a little bit more interested. And then he started asking a few more questions. I think this is about 5 or 6 years ago now. And, you know, and he was one of those people, you know, one of those people that is out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and ridden 70 kilometres on their bike before I got out of bed. You know those people? And he swam. He was Ironman. He didn't actually win it, but he went to New Zealand and Hawaii. He was serious. And he'd land up at my door sometimes at 7 o'clock in the morning. And as soon as I see him, I'd pretend I'd been up for a while, but I hadn't. But anyway. And he said, he calls me mother-in-love. And he says, mother-in-love, have you done your exercise yet? Oh, absolutely. So one day he was riding his bike. I don't know where my daughter had been for 17 years, but there's a husband asking God, who are you? And the Holy Spirit and Jesus, he was asking God just on the bike. And suddenly his bike, you want to see when he saw me, he was still white. His bike went so fast that it wasn't humanly possible. He couldn't even, he just hung onto his bike. He wasn't even pedaling. His bike just took off. And he thought he really was going to hell then, right then. He told me later. And you know what? And he said, what's happening? He said, I am God. Now you'd think, if your bike went 150 kilometres an hour in a second, and God said that to you, what would you do? Jesus come into my life. But didn't happen. Didn't happen. Told everybody the story, but didn't happen. But 2 years later, actually through Kay's mum, he gave his heart to the Lord. And you know, I'm getting a bit worried because he nearly knows the Bible more than me. Studies. Amazing young man of God. What did it, people? It was a miracle that did it. Praise God. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to death. Overcome by the word of the testimony. I think testimony is the most amazing things we can have in church. Amen? Testimonies build faith. They give us courage. They give us hope. Testimonies are powerful. I'm sure there's people in this room this morning that got son-in-laws that aren't going on with God. Well, I tell you, you'll go out of this place with great hope. Isn't that what it's all about? Testimonies are powerful. When I was in India, I'm usually in India, but when I was in India last November, went up to a place called Jalna, 600 k's from Mumbai. I've learned to explain where I am. Anyway, I was doing this service and was in a little room about 10, that square there. There's 150 women in there, just so you know. And it was about 50 degrees and I thought I was going to die and there was one hole in the wall. And you know, but when I looked out on the steps, there was two Muslim men on the steps in their white hat, in their white garb. And so I just kept on preaching and that. And I was introduced to them afterwards. And I said, oh, it's great to see you. I see you're Muslims. And it's wonderful that you're here. He said, I'm a Christian now. I said, oh, that's wonderful. And my friend's a Christian. I said, that's wonderful. I said, tell me your story. Everybody's got a story. And he said, see my arm? I said, yeah. Actually, it looked better than mine, actually. But anyway, he said, see my arm? My arm was completely withered. I said, withered? He said, yeah, it was all withered. It was all just withered, hung. I couldn't do a thing with it. A Christian prayed for my arm. You see my arm? Completely healed. And see that my friend? He's a Christian because of my arm. And there's 20 more of us back there, and actually they're at work today. There's 20 more, and they're all here because of my arm. Testimonies. Testimonies create a hunger to see more of the power of God. Causes us to have a greater expectation of the power of God. Amen? See, when expectation grows, miracles grow. When miracles grow, testimonies come. The more testimonies, the more miracles, the greater expectation. Praise God! We've taken all of Australia just like that. See, the simple act of sharing a testimony about God can stir up others until they expect and see God to work in their lives. Amen? You know, there's many scriptures on God, but I just want this one here because it's so important. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another, and you shall declare your mighty acts. I tell you, there's no generation problems. You know, when we see miracles from one generation to another. Amen? And young people, the young people today are the smartest, wisest, cleverest people that's ever been on earth. But you know what, people? They want to see the rubber where the rubber hits the road. Amen? Miracles. Miracles. Also, when I was in India about 3 years ago, I was at a service. And actually, I went with Empart, a different thing then. And a Swiss team had come. A Swiss team had been there the year before at this big conference. These people walked and rode 7 hours and all that to come to the conference, just full of all young pastors. It was just pastors everywhere. And the year before, a young couple, well, actually, they weren't a young couple. For India, they would have been old. They would have been about 40. And they had come from the village to the meeting because they had not been able to fall pregnant. So 17 years married. I mean, it's heartbreaking enough in our nation, you know, not to be able to fall pregnant when you want to. But, you know, in India, it's just terrible. I mean, usually they leave you if you can't have a baby. So they came, and this Swiss team prayed for this couple. And, you know, that couple came back the next year. Guess what they brought with them? Baby. Yeah. And guess what else they brought with them? Five couples that couldn't have children. Now, in that service, the head of that team, or the head of that church, Johnson, his wife had a lot of trouble having a baby. And they'd waited years, and then they got a little girl called Angel. She looked like an angel, you know, this little white dress and the black hair and the black eyes, just beautiful. Little tiny thing she was. And they had Angel. And they tried and tried for 8 years to have a child. And a mother was pregnant at that moment, and she was very, very ill. And little Angel was sitting in the service. So what happened? They called myself up, and I was so excited that I was going to pray, and some others, to pray for these five couples. I was just excited, expectant, you know. So I went up there, and I went ready to pray, and little Angel got out of her chair, walked up to me, and stood in front of me, and she said, I'll pray. I thought, okay. Okay. So this little tiny thing, she started praying, and she prayed for each couple with such faith. You know what? I have to be honest. I was getting worried. I was going to fall pregnant because it was so powerful. So guess what happened the next year? They all came pregnant. Then another 10 couple come. Come on, testimonies, miracles, power. This is how we're going to reach the generations. I was in a church, Swan, in Dream Builders Church, and I think I was talking about this and how God's placed it in my heart. And if someone here this morning, I want to pray for you. If you're not able to have a child, I never pull people out. You know, if I pull people out, you know what happens? All the old ladies come up and tell you to eat cabbage and all that, so I don't pull you out. I just pray for you privately, you know? And I was there, and I was talking about this. And Annie came up to me and she says, "Oh, I wish my daughter-in-law was here because she's having trouble having a baby." I said, "That's okay. I'll pray for you and you go home and pray for her." And she went home. This only happened a couple 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. So she went home and prayed for her daughter-in-law. Her daughter-in-law fell pregnant that month, and then the daughter-in-law's friend couldn't have a baby, so she prayed for her. Can you hear me? Miracles, 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 miracles. Because, you know, people, the truth is, we live as a country by signs, don't we? You have signs everywhere, isn't that correct? You know, signs don't touch the paint, so you touch the paint, you know. But there's just signs everywhere. And I believe that as we become a true representative of God, we are part of that signage. Amen? Miracles are just a sign. Signs always lead you somewhere, isn't that right? You know, signs and wonders, what they do, they give you a revelation of Jesus. Amen? Praise God. You know, signs are something we need. But you know what, people? We are just signage. But we are to be signage, leading people to Jesus Christ. Amen? Leading people to Jesus Christ. And that's the same with miracles. Leading people to His power, His character, His forgiveness, His miracles, His salvation, His healing, His anointing, His caring, His gentleness, His politeness. That is what we represent, don't we? We should be representing that. Remember His promise, "I will be with you." When you move out in faith, other words, you are a sent person, not a went person, and you're obedient to His word, you are not on your own. You represent His name, His power, His character. And you know what? You're just the one He's looking for. You're just the one He's looking for. "Oh, but I'm not possible. You don't know who I really am." But I know who you're representing. You're representing Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that we're just signage, leading people to a greater revelation of who you are. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning, Father. We thank you for your miraculous healing in this place, deliverance in this place, salvation in this place. Oh, Father, we are just representing you, Lord. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. I will pass it over. But if you're really believing for a miracle this morning, absolutely believing in God for a miracle, and you want someone to stand with you, I'm happy to stand with you this morning. So I'm just going to hand the mic back. But please come quickly. And I always close the line, okay? So you can't sit down and wait to see what's happening. If you want to come, you come in faith, and I'll pray for you, and I'll stand with you for that miracle. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you.